Today is Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. This is Quick Start from CBN News. I'm Dan Andros. Wife of a pastor dies. It's ruled a suicide, but people aren't buying it. We'll talk about why. Coming up and more on today's podcast, where we bring you news from a Christian perspective. Subscribe and leave a rating if you haven't done that already. We'd appreciate it. You can email us your thoughts as well. Write to us directly. QuickStartPodcast@CBN.org. Joining me now to get through the news of the Cray today, Trey Gons Phillips. And Trey, as I said, we're going to dive in a little bit to this story because it is quite, well, it's a little convoluted, but it's disturbing.
Yeah, no, I think it's at the very least a disturbing story. So I think it's important to talk about it. Also kind of realize it's early on, but important to know the details.
Yeah, definitely. And coming up on the main thing, we are going to talk to Pastor Glenn Germany. He's the pastor. We talked about him on yesterday's podcast. He survived this mentally ill person comes in, aims a gun at him, pulls the trigger. The gun doesn't shoot. The bullet gets jammed. He talked to us on CBN, and we have that conversation, a part of it, coming up on the main thing. He's got a great perspective on the whole thing. So we will have all of that and more coming up on the podcast today. Make sure you subscribe to all of our CBN News podcasts, DC Debrief with John Stolness. That's once a week on Fridays, rounding up all the happenings in DC. The election's heating up, so you're going to want to stay up to date with DC Debrief. And also Billy's Newsmakers podcast, one full-length interview each and every weekday. Make sure you're checking those out. You can follow them. We got the links in the description of this podcast. All right, we are going to head now over to the news in 90 seconds. Israel continues their Rafah operation. This is despite Hamas's desperation play at the last minute to try and stall the operation by announcing that they had agreed to a ceasefire deal, but it wasn't a deal from Israel. It was one from Egypt and Qatar, and they said they agreed to it. It didn't mention hostages or anything like that. Israel likely wouldn't have signed on to that anyway, so the Rafah operation continues. The AP said Israeli troops have now seized control of Gaza's Rafah border crossing. That happened yesterday. The White House called it a limited operation. And the Boy Scouts of America, they're changing their name for the first time in their 114-year history and will become Scouting America. It's a significant shift as they're emerging from bankruptcy following a flood of sexual abuse claims. And they said they're focused on inclusion and they want it to be a more welcoming organization. And they felt the name Boy Scouts was not welcoming enough. And a family's rejoicing after what they're calling an absolute miracle when their 7-year-old son survived being thrown by a deadly tornado in Abilene, Texas. You can read all about the details there on CBN News. com. Really remarkable story. The mom is holding on to this son, the 7-year-old, and the tornado comes right over their house and destroys it, and she gets hit by something and causes her to lose her grip on her son. I just can't imagine what she was thinking at that time, but they found him alive 25 feet away. Pretty remarkable story. Read all the details on cbnnews.com. All right, Trey, wanted to talk a little bit here just for a minute about this Boy Scouts change, and if this isn't a sign of the times, I don't know what is. The Boy Scouts of America, 114 years being called that, and now perhaps their final straw, no longer called the Boy Scouts of America. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I think this is just a perfect example of the pendulum swinging way too far. I think obviously we have a history, not just in America. I think we have a history in the world of kind of, you know, not necessarily valuing women equally. Women got the right to vote in 1920. It took a long time, whatever. And then also we've had, of course, similar, very serious discrepancies and persecution between ethnicities. But I think our culture now has just gone so far the other direction that we're kind of into Looney Tune land now. It's like we want to make everyone feel welcome by eliminating the spaces that are designed for men or eliminating the spaces that are designed specifically for women, except for if you're progressive. Then if you're progressive, it's like, well, this needs to be exclusive just for women, or, well, this needs to be exclusive just for minority people. But it only happens in one direction, right? If it's something that's designed for men, that needs to be retooled so that it can include everybody. If it's an organization designed explicitly for women, or an organization designed specifically for ethnic minorities, that needs to say the same, and you're a bigot for questioning or desiring to change that in any way. So I think the hypocrisy when it comes to this issue is off the charts.
It is. And you see that mindset seep in too. Like, any group that wants to get together, you see this with Christian groups too. Like, well, why can't the atheists come in and join this Christian student group as well? It's like, well, because it's a Christian group. We all believe Christian things. And so we're trying to do the Christian things. So kind of being an atheist in there isn't necessarily what we're looking for here. Make an atheist group. And yeah, but you're right. Then it goes the other way, and you're not allowed to question that. So
it's not like there aren't already alternatives too, right? There's Boy Scouts of America. There's already a counterpart for females. The problem now is that apparently there's more than two sexes. I don't know what they are, but apparently there's more than just men and women. And I also don't, like, it's fine to create spaces just for men and create spaces just for women. That's only become a problem in recent history.
Yeah, indeed. And look, because of the Boy Scouts essentially falling and going in this direction, it's caused other groups to come. I know Trail Life USA has started up, and they've gotten a large following as well. And actually, some dads and I in my group just started another organization called GoMove.org. Feel free to check that out. We're going to be launching some chapters here soon. So in other churches, aside from just the couple that we've done in our local area. But it's all designed around that, because there was a need, because they've left this gaping hole, like, where people want to do things to raise their son into men. And look, we have a massive problem right now in America where men aren't really encouraged to be men. Toxic masculinity. And, you know, and that, look, there are areas where you don't want certain behaviors that are culturally accepted as men, but you do need strong men for a society to survive and thrive. And we're not encouraging that at all. And it's going to be to the detriment of all of us, I think, if we don't get back to what a biblical man should look like. And that includes, how do you treat a woman? And right now, it's just sorely lacking.
Yeah, 100%. I think a lot of it goes back to that issue. I think so much of our cultural problem goes back to the devaluing of the nuclear family, of, you know, a man and a woman should be in a committed relationship with just one another. You're married. You don't divorce unless there's been obviously serious abuse or something like that. You build a family together. That is the nuclear family. That nuclear structure is what society is built on, but it's not valued at all. So if people get married at all, they don't put the emphasis on it being a covenant. It's just kind of, well, this didn't work out, so we're just going to go our separate ways. Like, well, that's not actually what God designed it to be. And that's also not how a society and a culture thrives either.
It's really not. And I think this Boy Scout story is probably just sort of one of the symptoms of a larger problem that we're seeing out there, and this detachment from biblical, pretty obvious biblical truths at times, like men are men and women are women and women, men can't get pregnant, those sorts of things that we're wrestling with as a society.
Very difficult right now. Truths to grasp.
Yes, very super difficult to understand that men cannot actually bear children. So, all right, we're going to head over to the focus story now. And this is a story that got national attention, primarily for the way this pastor announced the death of his wife. It was just a little awkward, and so it garnered a whole bunch of reaction online. But now the authorities have come out with a pretty solid timeline. So, Trey, what happened here?
Yeah, so the pastor is the pastor over at Solid Rock Church in Market Common in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. He made headlines for the way that, like, as you said, he delivered the announcement that his wife had died. He waited till the end of a church sermon and then just talked briefly in kind of a bizarre way about his wife having taken her life, having committed suicide. And then he, you know, asked everybody, don't talk about it. None of the congregation could talk about it. Leave the sanctuary. There'll be no further discussion. That, of course, prompted a social media storm of people wondering, is suicide what actually happened? Could something else have happened? Well, the police have since released a whole lot of detailed information and confirmed without a doubt that it was, in fact, suicide. The pastor's behavior can be bizarre, it can be problematic, you know, all of those things. But the police are now certainly saying that he was not responsible in any way. This was self-committed by Micah Miller. She committed suicide, and she actually told the police in a 911 call before this happened. She took her life horribly on April 27th. And that day, earlier in the day, she called 911 and actually said that she was about to take her life. She said, "I'm about to kill myself." So that's the latest. There's a whole lot more details that the police have released, but that's the latest we have right now. It's a heartbreaking story, honestly.
Yeah, it is heartbreaking. And, you know, again, like people were jumping in and you had all these people trying to fill the gaps. And like we said, it's odd behavior and strange behavior doesn't necessarily mean you're guilty. It might look bad, but it doesn't mean you're guilty of a crime. And it appears that that's what happened here. And it's ultimately a tragedy. And what were some of the details in addition to the 911 call that police came out with?
Yeah, so we should say she was found in Lumber River State Park. And also, there were allegations. She said that she was afraid for her life before having taken her life. There were other incidents, but it's also important to remember that this is somebody who had a track record of having some mental health issues. And it does seem like, based on clips from Pastor John Paul Miller, that he wasn't always the best at handling these situations. His language seemed problematic in some ways, verbally abusive. In some of the things and jokes that he would make about his now late wife from the pulpit. So all those things are certainly concerning. So she took her life on April 27th. Her body was, as she told the police it would be, in Lumber River State Park. So, you know, everything that she said was going to happen in her 911 call to the Robeson County authorities did end up happening. She said specifically, "I'm about to kill myself, and I just want my family to know where to find me." So, a terrible story. And then also, there's timestamps, detailed footage, surveillance video of Micah going to a store, purchasing a gun, taking that gun to the park, and committing suicide. So it's not like there's any speculation here anymore. Yeah. Tragically, well, police have all of the details. They can put all of this timeline together in a really detailed way to prove this is exactly what happened. Horrible story.
Horrible end for sure. And also too, on the other end of it, the pastor, there was evidence that they released as well that he was,
yes, he was in Charleston,
in a different area, and he had stayed overnight there. So so it's not like he was around or could have been around. No. And something like that. So it seems very open and shut at this point, given the evidence we now have that this is what happened. And it just happened to all occur in the midst of, reportedly, they were having marital issues. And so, of course, naturally, the speculation runs rampant. But again, this is just one of those reminders that, listen, don't jump to conclusions on this stuff and, you know, draw conclusions that might look very probable. And in a lot of cases might end up that way, but you just don't know until all of the facts come in.
Yeah, for sure. The Robeson County Sheriff's Department, they released a statement. They said this incident has garnered much attention from across the Carolinas and beyond, and went on to say, "Unfortunately, rumors and conspiracies were spreading quickly and assumptions were being made. However, in the end, we must make decisions based on facts and evidence that has been gathered. While I know it's not what many people wanted to hear, the evidence is quite clear and compelling, and we are as saddened as anyone else that this occurred." So definitely tragic. I think, as you said, Dan, and they echoed, it's important to wait for all of the information to come forward. But I do want to mention, Dan, while we're talking about this, just because the pastor is not guilty here in this situation, and that, you know, that's important to note. He was in Charleston. He was at a sporting event. He's not responsible for his wife's taking her life. his behavior is still concerning and problematic, and I think is worthy of calling out and condemning as Christians. The things that he allegedly said from the pulpit about his wife are not things that any man, any right. godly husband should ever say about his wife. So, these are two separate issues. His right. his language is definitely abusive and should be called out, but also it's important in this case that, as horrible as it is, we get the facts right. This was self-inflicted. This was suicide.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And I mean, that's, again, that's why probably a lot of this speculation happened in the first place, because in large part to some of the things he was saying in public and the disputes they were having about his wife. And so that issue was playing out. And so then it led people to jump to this conclusion. So, but again, the main thing here for us as Christians is we need to be praying for that community, because this is a church. They lost somebody that they loved in that church. Yeah. And so they're torn apart now by all these accusations that were flying around and the disputes that were happening. So just be praying for, obviously, that family first and foremost, and of course that church community down there in South Carolina. Appreciate you breaking down the details on that one for us, Trey. All right. We're going to head over to the main thing now, and I had a chance to catch up yesterday with Pastor Glenn Germany. He's a pastor of a small church outside of Pittsburgh, and you may have seen the viral video. We talked about it yesterday. He survived this guy coming in, a mentally disturbed individual, and then pointed a gun at him. The gun jammed. Well, I talked with Pastor Germany. He had shared his perspective and what they said to the man afterwards and how they prayed with him. That's today's main thing.
It was just another, you know, Sunday service. We was really just having a good time in service. The praise and worship was wonderful, excellent. And I seen this guy while we were in the midst of praise and worship. He came in the church, then he left the church. And he came in the church and he left. And I didn't think it was nothing strange, because I was so used to people would come in and they would hear the music and they would listen to the music and they would leave out. And so it didn't, you know, take me by surprise, him coming in and out. But then all of a sudden, and also my brother had told me that he was expecting a guest to come in the building. And so I thought that that was my brother's guest. And at one point I see him, you know, he's sitting in the back before I come up and speak. And then he comes from the back and he moves all the way up to the front of the, congregation. And he sits on my, he was actually sitting on my left-hand side. And I thought he was going to keep going by me, because my brother, as you see in the video, he was at the piano. He was on my right-hand side, and I thought he was his friend. So I thought he was going to walk over to my brother. But when he stopped in the middle of the pulpit and he pulled the gun out, there I didn't know what to think. It would just react.
Yeah, I can imagine that was a harrowing experience. And you didn't know this person at all, right? As you're saying, like, this is somebody that has no connection to you at all, or your family, or anybody. So what do you have any idea why he wanted to do this?
I had a chance to speak with him, and also, and you know, I'm at this point in the interview, I get to speak from hindsight, and I understand what have taken place prior to him coming to the church. You know, There was an altercation at a house prior. And this is all presumption, because they haven't finished the court case. And I don't want to say anyone's guilty or you know, before they have a chance to go through what happened. But truly, he was dealing with a situation. And when he came to the church, that situation was still active in his mind. And so leaving one scene and coming down to the church and being, you know, and then, you know, committing to what he committed to, it was like he was someone. I had a chance to talk to him. I seen, you know, he was had mental illness, but at the same token, it was like, you know, it was from some type of drug intake. And I'm no specialist, but you can tell these kids who are, he wasn't there. It was like it was him in his body, but it was not him there.
Yeah. Now, speaking of this from, I mean, you're obviously a pastor here. I mean, what have been your thoughts today? And as you know, you've been processing this, I'm sure a lot of shock, but what have been your thoughts from kind of a spiritual perspective on this whole thing?
Well, on a spiritual perspective, to be honest with you, I'm totally, totally grateful, because I understand the protection of God and the protection of God being with me. you know, and this is nothing less than a miracle. Like I say, he left one scene and he came to another scene, and I really didn't fully answer your last question. When I asked him why did he do it, he said that there were spirits inside of his mind telling him to go shoot the pastor. And so, you know, knowing that and knowing that he, you know, one thing that he said to me is basically, this was the language that he used that I never heard before, but he said, today you ducked a taco. And I'm like, what did that mean? I ducked a taco, but I understood. He was saying, you know, I was shooting at your head and I missed you. And he would let me know that, you know, he was told to come in here and shoot the pastor, you know? And then I asked him, well, why did he, I don't know why I did it. And he actually apologized to me, but I know it was the grace of God. And I know it was a miracle because the gun jammed, and you could see when the officer came in and he emptied a clip of the gun and he removed the bullet was still in the chamber and the bullet had markings of it getting jammed in there. And I don't, or like, you can't hear no shooting, but if you listen to the video closely, you can actually hear him clicking the gun.
Wow, that is absolutely remarkable. I also want to commend the gentleman. Who is the gentleman that came in once, you know, because these things happen quick and, you know, you're doing your thing, you're out, you're preaching. It's kind of hard to process something like this sometimes, you know, for a few seconds there, critical seconds. And the one gentleman sort of, once the misfire happens, he leaps into action. Who was that?
Well, if you don't mind, he's right here. I can let him say hello if you.
Sure, bring him in. Come on in.
Here he is, right here.
How's everybody
hello,
doing?
Hello, sir. I'm doing great. God bless you. For what were you thinking when you saw that happen? You jumped right into action.
Hey, that's my pastor. I got to handle my business. I don't want nothing to happen to him.
Yes, sir. Well, God bless you for taking quick action. That was a very, very brave thing you did because the gun jammed, but you don't know if it's going to go off the next time. So God bless you, sir, for your quick thinking.
Well, thank you.
Great to meet you.
All right, good Pastor, meeting you too.
Yeah, yes, sir. Thank you. So, yes. Pastor, do you guys have any plans to maybe minister to this gentleman? And I'm sure he's, I mean, like, we'll, you know, the tape speaks for itself. I'm assuming he's going to get some sort of punishment here. So do you have any plans to potentially minister to this gentleman? Like you said, it sounded like he had a troubled spirit.
Yes. Well, when I held him down, I held him down for 20 minutes. I had the time to actually speak with him and minister him. But while I was holding him, there was members who were praying for him. And at the same token, I was having a chance to talk with him. But then later when he was in the car, I had a chance to go up to the police car. And for 10 minutes, the officer allowed me to talk with him. And I talked it to him and I let him know, my name is Glenn Germany. I want you to remember that. And I want you to know that I forgive you. And I want to let him know I love him. I told him that, please, whatever it is that he needs while he's in there, get in touch with me. You know, we'll help him as much as we can possibly help him. And that's just, you know, doing what we're supposed to do, loving people.
And I'm guessing that you're not planning to slow down anytime soon.
I understand. It's like a police officer in the line of duty. If he gets hurt in the line of duty, we don't be like, oh, you're done being a police officer. You know, he gets well and he comes back and he does what he have to do because it's a ministry. Being a police officer is a ministry. It's a ministry to serve and protect. Well, being a pastor is also a ministry. And a lot of times we're going to find ourselves in predicaments. You know, I don't want to be found in that predicament again. And I thank God for his grace, but God just allowed me to know that he's with me and he's watching over me and he'll keep me. And so therefore I can't be afraid or fearful when I'm telling other people to trust in God, but yet it's me who's not trusting in God. So I look forward to Sunday's message, and believe it or not, we won't be focused on what happened as much as we'll be focusing on, let's open up the book of Peter and let's learn what Peter saying. Here at our church, we're not stuck on current events. We're stuck on letting people learn what the Word of God say. You can't grow learning current events, but you can grow if you know the Word of God.
Well, some wise words from the pastor there. And despite the obviously tragic situation surrounding the gentleman and the disturbed nature of what he tried to do, I did enjoy the perspective of that pastor there on that interview. So you can check out that interview, by the way, on the CBN News YouTube channel. And with that, we're going to have time for one last thing.
So we're going to look at Proverbs 16:16. It says, "How much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver."
Yeah. I mean, that's really, it's countercultural. It really is to even our subconscious, right? Like all the actions that we do tend to go towards the material. In reality, it's better to get wisdom than gold. So great proverb there. Great place to leave it on today's episode of the Quick Start Podcast. As always, you can get more news from a Christian perspective over at cbnnews.com, faithwire.com. Lord willing, that creek don't rise on us. We'll be back here tomorrow with more. God bless. See you then.